Well, this is Valentine's Day, so I would be remiss if I didn't have some sort of a story to share with you. And so it's about this man who was just madly in love with a princess, and he wanted to propose to her, but an evil witch cast a spell on him, and now he could only say one word a year. So he waits 14 agonizing years, accumulating all of his words before approaching his beloved. And finally, the big day arrives. And when he sees her, his heart skips a beat. He gathers his nerve. He drops to his knees and he says, "My darling, I have waited many years to say this. Will you marry me?" And the princess turns around, smiles, and says, "Huh?" Well, sorry about that, but it is Valentine's Day. Yes, today actually is Valentine's Day. And this really is a very significant day in our culture. Over 1 million people will get engaged today before the day is done. And it's a really significant day for our economy. It is estimated that in celebration of Valentine's Day, Americans will have poured over $21 billion, that's a billion with a B, $21 billion into our economy. Man, I want to tell you, that's a lot of Hallmark cards, Fannie Mae candy, floral bouquets, and probably a few bottles of Three Buck Chuck. Of course, Valentine's Day isn't the only day that we focus on love. Love is a theme that underlies Mother's Day, Father's Day, Sweetest Day, anniversaries, and many, many other occasions. Obviously, much of this is inspired by commercialism, but they do all have a certain appeal to them. I mean, we kind of enjoy getting into them. After all, love makes the world go round, doesn't it? So, given all of this, it may sound strange, but today I want to start off talking about the impeachment trial. Perhaps it is analogous to starting off talking about the desert when giving a lecture on water. But that's exactly the point. What makes a desert is the absence of water. And regardless of your political persuasion, if you've been watching the proceedings of the impeachment trial, there has been a conspicuous absence of love of any kind. Well, of course, it's politics. Why would I expect love to play a part in it? Why indeed? This past Friday evening, Susan and I watched the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. There's a fascinating scene in the movie in which the character of the Black Panthers leader, Fred Hampton, defines war as politics with blood and defines politics as war without blood. Well, if you've been watching the political events in our country over the past few days, and certainly going back to January 6th, there's been blood drawn, both literally and figuratively. And again, regardless of your political leaning, if you have spent even a few minutes watching history in the making at the Capitol building, you had to have experienced a bit of frustration. And possibly actually felt overwhelmed by it all. At least I hope that has been in your thoughts, and I hope that has been somewhat of what your feelings were about. And more importantly, my hope this morning is that in addition to feeling frustrated and maybe somewhat angry, you also have started being nagged inside with a burning question. What am I called to do? Or what is mine to do? Or what am I supposed to do? Because if you simply shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, what can you do? You are missing the single most significant cross-denominational directive of the Christian message. If you just write it off by saying or thinking something to the effect of, gee, that's sad, or that's too bad, but that's politics, then you have given away perhaps your single most powerful gift, a gift that bridges, a gift that is the glue between your humanity and your divinity. You have given away or shelved your power to love. Early on in the Democratic debates, Marianne Williamson was a candidate. She had garnered enough support in the polls that she had to be included in the debate. And I vividly recall that she said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that we were not going to respond to the sad state of affairs with fear. We were going to respond with love. And in response to what she said, several political analysts gave the opinion the statement she gave made her dead in the water. Their analysis was correct. She slipped in the polls, and soon after, she withdrew from the race. How pathetic. How sad. How politically stupid. But if we leave it there, we're missing the point. The reason that talking about love in politics is political suicide isn't because love is a no-no in the political arena. It's because the political arena is an extension of race consciousness. I mean, it's okay. In fact, it's better than okay to spend over $21 billion on flowers and candy and fine dining and things like that. But just be sure to confine love to that day, Valentine's Day, or to the other days and times that Hallmark has established as proper times to emphasize love. But as for brandishing your love in the real world, We just don't go there. The point is that I believe we are missing the point. Love is not something to be compartmentalized. Of course, it's right and proper to give a Valentine's gift or card to someone special in your life. Of course, it's important to say the words, I love you, to someone you love. But love is not something that should be restricted to those types of situations, nor should it be dusted off occasionally and used as the topic of a sermon. Love is not something to be brought out and showcased occasionally. That would be like talking about hunger and limiting your speech, your talk, to an experience of fine dining at a restaurant and never responding to the reality of children in the world who are still dying of starvation. No, love is not something to be showcased occasionally, but rather it's the right thing to be brought forth on every occasion and without exception. And most importantly, even though we all look for love, it's important to understand that the only way we ever find it is by loving. Yes, it is absolutely true that we are loved unconditionally by God. In our prayer for protection, we affirm the love of God enfolds us. And most parents love their children and their grandchildren unconditionally. And I have to share with you, I believe that it's my love for my children, my grandchildren, Susan, and for many other people, significant people in my life, that has brought me to a place of thinking, you know what? Maybe I might be lovable. Our talk today is the power of love, and we should focus on that for just a moment. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, identified love as one of the 12 powers. And in unity, we define love as the attracting, harmonizing, unifying faculty that all of us share. It's the constructive, building force of spirit. And it's our power to comprehend oneness. And that's a comprehension that is not limited to the intellect. It's a comprehension that goes to a deep-seated knowing in every part of our being. In other words, love is our ability to connect the spiritual dots and see beyond the separateness or apartness, both in the world and in ourselves. Why in the world would we ever want to shelve that, even for a moment? If you go online, you literally can find millions of profound quotes about love. Allow me to share just a couple with you that really struck home with me. The poet Khalil Gibran, in talking about love, says, "It surrounds every being and extends slowly to embrace all that shall be." Isn't this the energy that stimulates a tiny seed to become a giant tree? Or the energy that causes and calls it, that brings a rose to bloom? Isn't this the force of spirit that causes all of life to seed, create, and recreate? Not just biologically, but on multiple planes? Leo Buscaglia, one of my favorite all-time human beings and prophets, said, "Love is life. And if you miss love, you miss life." Think about that for a moment. You can go 8 or 9 decades breathing, but if you never loved, have you ever lived? Love is what makes growing our consciousness sweet and beautiful. And Mother Teresa once said, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love." In this world where nothing lasts forever, love never dies. Relationships may come to an end, but love and life and God are all the same, and they are forever. Want to rid yourself of something physically or emotionally that is bringing you pain? Forget Advil. Forget your addictions. Those are short-lived, which you already know. Love until it hurts, if you want the hurt to go away. What we're talking about here is an inner tool that is your very reason for being here. Love is a lens that you may choose to look through in viewing the world and everything and everybody in it. It's a spiritual muscle that only grows every time that you use it. Think how great it would be to stop seeing things as black and white and to be able to see absolutely everything in full loving color. Years ago, a very close friend of mine had open heart bypass surgery. And after it was done, I talked to him. I asked him, I said, "Were you afraid?" And he shared with me that he was very afraid. And then told me about the conversation he had with his doctors before the surgery. They had explained to him that during surgery, the heart is in effect put on ice, and that they pump the blood mechanically. And so my friend asked them, wait a minute here. What happens if the heart does not resume beating after it thaws? And the doctors burst out laughing in response to his question. And they apologized for their insensitivity, but they went on to explain that the cells of the heart have been programmed over thousands and thousands of years. They exist for one purpose, to beat. And what I'm suggesting to you today is that your hearts exist for another, much more profound, much more significant, much more spiritual purpose, to love. Our way shower Jesus did a significant and profound edit on 1,000 years of Hebrew scriptures. When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he went on to add, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This was a very different view compared to the Ten Commandments and the complicated web of the Jewish law. But the simplicity about it is just incredibly awesome. These two commandments would encompass everything previously found in the law, would they not? Was there any need to speak about not coveting or not stealing or honoring your parents? But listen to the intensity of the commandment. Do it with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Let every part of your being be loving. A very popular scripture in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us, it doesn't matter how eloquently we may speak. If we don't have love, we are nothing more than a clanging gong or a noisy cymbal. And he basically says that regardless of what awesome things we might be able to do, without love, we are nothing. And he continues by describing love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And finally, he concludes by saying, there is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What we have been witnessing in our nation's capital these past few days is all about power. We should make no mistake about that. More importantly, we should not make the mistake of buying into it. That doesn't mean that we should ignore it and not get involved. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to have opinions or to try to change things. On the contrary, to sit on the sidelines and just quietly watch as a spectator, is an absolute abdication of your power. I have to admit that when I watch the proceedings, I sometimes find myself getting sucked in. I might become angry and want to reach through the TV screen and punch someone in the nose. But all of that within me stems from a consciousness that's shared with the consciousness that the Jews had in the first century. Damn it, I want political victory. I want political power. When I fall prey to that thinking and those emotions, I'm being foolish. Not because I want that power, but because I've lost sight of that which I already have that is so much more awesome, so much more real, so much more effective, so much more permanent, and so much more fulfilling. The power of love. The power of God within me. The power to understand on a broad stage the world in which we live, and yes, all of its beauty. The power to embrace and understand the magnificence of creation. The power to participate in creation in a very real way. Marianne Williamson had it right. The world may not have been ready for it, but that's not the question before us this morning. The question this morning is, are we ready for it? A good time to take that question into prayer and meditation.